Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. So happy to get to be with you here on this Monday afternoon or Monday evening or Tuesday morning, depending. And as we promised this hour, the woman with one of the hardest jobs in the world, her job is to convince the state of California to respect human life in all of its stages, from conception to natural death. Molly Sheehan is the Respect Life Associate Director of the California Catholic Conference. That's the Conference of Catholic Bishops here in the state of California. Now that Roe versus Wade has been overturned and practically every person in California is mad about it, her job is even harder. But she's here to help us to think through what are our obligations, what are our opportunities in a post-Roe versus Wade world. Molly Sheehan, thanks for being here with us.
Good to be with you, Si. Thanks for having me.
And we know each other, even though it took pretty much the entire afternoon to remember, from Immaculate Heart Radio, when we used to do pledge drives at Immaculate Heart Radio years ago.
That's right.
Yeah, it doesn't exist anymore, so look how good we did at pledge drives. Nice. Nice work, Molly.
We crushed it, you know?
Yeah, we crushed it. Molly also had the longest golf drive of any woman at an Immaculate Heart Radio golf event, fundraising event, when she was 9 years old. Congratulations on that as well.
I did. The fun fact was that I was the only woman at the drive. So it went like 3 yards, but hey, we're not going to tell that part.
Nice. Nice. Well, that's all right. You represented. All right. So how do you even get up in the morning? Like, the state of California, probably the most pro-choice place in the world. You know, you could take out the rural counties to the north, where I imagine they're pro-life, and some of the counties maybe in the inland valleys. But everywhere else is just a pro-choice. It's just a very pro-choice place. So how do you get up in the morning and do your job?
Well, to begin with, God is good, and
amen,
so
sister.
Every day is a good day to be alive. It's a gift from God. But seriously, the pro-life movement in California has been strong for decades. I grew up in the pro-life movement. I knew, you know, strong pro-lifers around me for my whole life, and so I've seen people who walked with women, who supported women through challenging pregnancies. We have 170 pregnancy centers that do amazing work. And, you know, I've seen the 40 Days for Life campaigns here are incredible. And just the movement is strong because we have to be. So I'm encouraged. You know, it's a difficult state to work in. It's difficult to advocate for life here. But I also just see people who are really passionate and are willing to step up for women and children and families because someone's got to do it. And we're here, and we're very proud to do that.
If you want to talk with Molly, you're welcome to call 888-318-7884. Molly Sheehan is our guest. She runs the Respect Life section at the California Catholic Conference, 888-318-7884. We're in a time at the moment, and I imagine that this will go on for a while, where it almost seems like a creepiness competition out there, where now that Roe has been overturned, politicians are trying to be creepier, each one trying to be creepier than the next one as far as how many babies they'll kill. It's like in California, like literally people saying proudly, you know, that abortion at any moment a mother might choose, right up until the moment of birth. The people are not ashamed to say that they're advocating this. They're proud of advocating it.
You know, I think that the difficult thing is a lot of legislators don't feel that they can say that they are, you know, against abortion, even though a number of them, you know, behind closed doors will tell you that they are. So what we do see is that, you know, there's a strong movement to expand abortion through, you know, not just it's legal through all 9 months of pregnancy in California, but we also see a movement to, you know, enshrine the right of abortion in the state constitution. That was debated on the floor today. There is a bill that would pay for women, not just for the abortion itself, because that's already fully funded here in California, but for women out of state to come to California and have their child care, their doula support, their hotel, their airfare, everything paid for by the state, by taxpayers. And it's really unfortunate because it ends up being reproductive coercion. Most women we know don't want to have abortions. They feel that they have no other choice, that they're stuck, that whatever situation they're in is too difficult. And so for the state to be saying, well, we will help you do everything if you choose abortion, but if you choose life, you're really on your own at finding those resources, is really coercive.
Has anybody thought through, again, the creepiness of saying, if you're pregnant and you'd like to get rid of the child, we'll give you a free trip to California? Like this doesn't seem, this is just gross.
It's really sad and tragic. And so, you know, the other reason I am excited to get up in the morning, actually, is the response from the bishops has been, you know, really united and strong to say, we stand with women, children, and families. We don't want any woman to think that she has to have an abortion. And we're going to unite our pregnancy centers. We're going to advocate for better family policy. And we're going to do everything that we can to make sure that women and children and families are supported. So that's another reason that I've just been really grateful, is their leadership.
I'm so glad to hear you say that, because in a certain sense, there's this challenge that's made that I feel like as a Catholic, we should be happy to take up, which is, okay, fine, you want to be pro-life. How about being pro-mother and pro-child once the child is born? And I feel like, okay, yeah, I actually should be better at that. And I don't mind the challenge. So is that how you feel about it?
100%. You know, okay, so California, our abortion laws are very, very broad. They're really unrestricted. And the legislature simply wants to expand abortion. So the advocacy on that side is very difficult, but there is a lot that we can do to say, all right, if whatever you need in order for you to welcome your child and achieve your dreams at the same time, we will do for you. We're here for you. We want to walk with you. We want to celebrate you and your child, and we want to celebrate you every step of the way. So what do you need? We're going to walk with you. We got you.
Again, the number 888-318-7884, if you'd like to talk with Molly Sheehan about how we go about this Catholic public policy, about being Catholic citizens in a post-Roe v. Wade world, you are very welcome to call. You don't have to be Catholic to call if you just want to talk with a person who has really thought about these things and has a very fine handle on them. 888-318-7884, 888-31-TRUTH. Does this concern you at all, that the stuff that we're seeing in the last few days about companies who will, one of them, a very prominent company, Orange County company here in California. Wait, you think it's okay if I say Disney? I don't want to say Disney on the air. Nah. Saying we'll pay for abortions, we'll send people out of state if we have to for abortions. Does this kind of behavior from corporate America bother you? And in your position, is there anything you might do to work on that?
Yeah, so it's a really interesting response by these companies, and it truly is coercive, again, because the company is saying, we will pay for you to have an abortion, we'll you know, even up to $4,000 we're seeing from a lot of these companies. But when it comes to their paid family leave, when it comes to making sure that they have the best resources for women, you know, lactation rooms in their company, whatever she needs, that is costly. And so it's much easier for them, for a woman to have an abortion and for them to say, all right, take care of it yourself and then come back, than for them to be responsive to the needs of women who choose to parent and, you know, want to achieve their dreams at the same time. That's what we want to see, is a response from any corporation that says, we will support you when you have a child so that you can do this and you can keep working here, and we value you as a working mom.
Yeah, it's kind of weird to have a corporate culture that says, we're a corporate culture that welcomes women, and in order to prove that, we welcome and will assist with abortion, rather than saying, we're a corporation that welcomes women. Women are not exactly the same as men, so things like nursing, things like maternity leave, these are really important to us.
Exactly. And I think we need to understand that women, as you said, are different from men, and so our needs are different. And the world is often shaped by, you know, seeing women as misshapen men rather than seeing them as valuable and unique in who they are and what they bring to the table. And, you know, women are mothers, and so companies need to respond to the needs of mothers and who work for them.
888-318-7884. Lines beginning to fill up, but there are lines open if you'd like to talk with Molly Sheehan. She works for the Conference of California Bishops on respect life issues. 888-318-7884. It does seem to me that there's a kind of I feel like people are thinking, you know, the U.S. Catholic bishops and maybe even the California Catholic bishops are so there's such a lack of unity among them or something because of this issue or that. But there really isn't a lack of unity when it comes to, like, I can't think of a single bishop in California, for example, who wouldn't say, I'm 100% pro-life. We Catholics need to be 100% pro-life. And I'm all in on changing the world so it works for women, especially pregnant women or mothers. Like, I don't think one of them would step out of line on any of that.
So it's actually been so encouraging to me that the bishops have responded in exactly that way. On January 22nd, so the anniversary of Roe versus Wade, the bishops released this incredible statement saying all of them together, all of the ordinaries of California from San Diego to Santa Rosa and everywhere in between said, we stand with women. We are here to support women, children, and families. And from that, we've created this amazing resource for parishes called We Were Born Ready to say, yeah, by virtue of our baptism, we as Catholics, we are made priest, prophet, and king. It is our job to step up for women, children, and families, and we have all of the tools to be able to do that. We already do this on a regular basis. We support, you know, the moms in our families, our sisters, our cousins, our best friends, and so anyone in our parish is our brother and sister in Christ, and so for all of our sisters in Christ in our parishes, we are here for you, and we will do everything that you need to be able to thrive here in California.
888-318-7884. Molly, I got to take a quick break, but when I come back, I want to ask you about public policy strategy. That is, I'd like to ask you about, is it okay to make incremental improvements? You know, are you, I'm sure you're going to get pressured to say, no, nothing short of a constitutional amendment to ban abortion is worth your time as a Catholic. And so how do you all think about policy in a state like California? We'll do that with Molly Sheehan when we come back right up to this on Catholic Answers Live.
There's only one Catholic Answers Live.
Are you a coffee drinker? If so, you can now enjoy a coffee roasted to perfection by the Carmelite Monks of Wyoming. Delicious Mystic Monk coffee is roasted and prepared by monks in a hidden cloistered monastery and is available in over 25 varieties. All Mystic Monk coffees are works of perfection and labors of love. For more information on how to purchase Mystic Monk coffee, visit mysticmonkcoffee.com. That's mysticmonkcoffee.com.
This is Raul Garo, founder of the JP2 Catholic Radio Network. Catholic Radio promotes the sense of the personal encounter, a type of encounter found between a radio host and callers, helps to soften up the heart and open it up to receive the word, which is the good news. As a result, hearts are transformed and lives are saved because of Catholic Radio.
The world needs EWTN Catholic Radio, now more than ever.
Welcome back. Catholic Answers Live on the break found another connection with Molly Sheehan. She used to run One Life LA for Archbishop Gomez, which is the pro-life walk and a huge event that they have there in LA. And I used to broadcast from there. So now we have another connection. You seem so much less than impressed by that. She's like, yeah, can we get back to the show? 888-318-7884. Let me ask you that policy question, and then we'll go to the phones. Like, how do you, you know, part of your job must be public policy. What are we asking of politicians? What are we asking of the people? What kind of ballot initiatives would we support and not support? So in a post-Roe world in which the state of California it just seems to be stepping over itself to do more abortion and provide abortion for people from all over the country, and what are the steps that you take in public policy and public policy advocacy?
We have the amazing opportunity to work on anything that would uplift families. So, as Catholics, we know that the basic building block of society is the family. That's where, you know, we're nurtured into our full potential. And so for me, I get to advocate to what policies would help families. Right now, that includes advocating for expanding paid family leave so that a mother who is a low-wage worker, so maybe she's working for a minimum wage, she can take time off when she has a baby. She pays for it out of her own paycheck. It goes right back to her when she takes that time off and when she has a baby. Right now, most women who are low-wage workers will return to work after just 2 weeks after delivering their baby. And that's not enough time. That's not enough time for her to be able to take care of the baby and bond and, you know, catch up on sleep. So, it's really important that we have policies like that, policies that help incarcerated moms and help homeless moms. And, you know, any mom that we have in our state, they deserve to be supported. They deserve help with housing if they need it, help for, you know, families that are housing insecure or in poverty or whatever it is. Families need help. We want to help them.
The number 888-31-TRUTH. I'm going to go to the phones now. Molly, you ready to take some calls?
Absolutely.
All right. Let's talk with Catherine in Texas, listening on Red Sea Radio. Catherine, we're happy to have you. Go ahead with your question for Molly Sheehan.
Hello. Yes, you just talked about this a little bit, but I was curious, if I was going to take one thing to my pastor and say, this is what I really want our parish to be working on to support moms, what would you recommend? Like, what's the number one thing that women need?
That is an excellent question. What I often hear from the advocacy groups that I work with is women need help with housing. It might depend on where you are in the country, but a lot of the time it can be very difficult for a pregnant mom to be able to find housing. And so making sure that they have somewhere that they can go, if you support your local maternity home, if you help them find housing vouchers or hotel vouchers through Catholic Charities, if you help pay their rent through St. Vincent de Paul Conference, if you have a Gabriel Project or Wathic Moms in Need, housing is often the number one concern for women because it's the most expensive thing that they're facing.
What do you think?
Thank you. Well, and okay, so that was kind of at the parish level, what could we advocate for, but what about as far as legislature, do you think? Would it be also housing, or are there other needs like transportation?
So it's really what is the need in your local area, right? So housing is always the number one need that I hear. But yes, it can be transportation. It can be paid family leave. It can be expanding a child tax credit so that you have money in your pocket that returns to you when you have a child. It can be, you know, whatever the need is in your local area. And that's, so it depends on the issues there. If you have the option for really good medical care or prenatal and postpartum care, expanding that for low-income mothers. There's a lot of options that are out there. One of the amazing things that I have here in California is we have that expansive social safety net. And what we want to do from the Catholic community is help women to be able to find those resources when they need them so that they know what they know where to go. They know what we have.
Well, and then, let me ask this.
Thank you so much.
Okay, Catherine, thanks. I was just going to kind of ask a follow-up on Catherine's question for you, Molly. Is this something that a Catholic conference, say in the state of Texas or in California, could do as far as surveying so that you would know the needs of young mothers? Because I'd imagine that would be a way to inform action, would be to say, all right, you know, we've got this ongoing survey where we're keeping track of what mothers say they need. And here's things that, you know, parishes can do.
A survey is a really good idea. And another option is just looking at the statistics for your area. So here in California, we know that the number one issue is housing. And we see that in a lot of metro areas. But, you know, it depends on where you're located. Maybe in a rural area, the issue is transportation and getting help to drive to doctor's appointments. Or maybe the issue is childcare and you need someone to babysit your kids while you go to a prenatal appointment. Right. So that's something that on the local level, parishes can respond to super easily is, what do the moms in your parish need? We're here for you. So what do you need? We'll throw a baby shower for you. We'll donate hotel points for you. But what is it that would most help you?
Oh, yeah, you could do that in the parish. Yeah, you could just ask. And that's okay. That's why Molly Sheehan has the job she has. She works for the California Catholic Conference. We want to talk with her in part because we know of the very fine work that she and the conference do here in California and advocating for life, advocating for children, advocating for life in all of its stages to be properly respected, cared for, loved. even. And this is a really difficult environment to do that job in. If I may ask you, I have noticed in the last few days, and I imagine this will calm down, but people who really want to accuse the Catholic Church of being anti-woman and mean-spirited, and I don't know, like I've seen a lot of people on Twitter posting quotes from George Carlin who hated Catholics, you know, like that seems to be the mood out there. Here in a state like California, do legislators, do mayors listen to Catholic advocates, or are you unwelcome?
They appreciate hearing from us because we are such a huge constituency. The Catholic Church is the largest provider of private nonprofit social services in California, in the United States, in the world. That's what we do.
Those are my three favorite places. And that's where we're biggest.
Everywhere.
Yeah.
We provide everything that someone needs. So if you go to Catholic Charities, if you go to St. Vincent de Paul, whatever it is, you can find that help. We provide healthcare, we provide education, we provide the support for housing and childcare and mental health and medical care and dental care and everything you can imagine. That's what the Catholic community does. It's what we've done for thousands of years. It's what we're good at. It's our gospel call, and that's really in our bones who we are.
If you want to talk to Molly Sheehan about what we do now that we're here, we are Catholic. Maybe you're not Catholic. Maybe you're a fellow Christian. Maybe you're not a fellow Christian, but you are a person of goodwill who would like to know, you know, what does a person who does this and thinks about this every day have to say about what the opportunities are and what the challenges are now that Roe has been overturned. You're very welcome to call 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. So the Catholic Conference is how big? Like what who do you represent in the job you do, Molly?
I represent the 12 dioceses of California. So there are 12 ordinary bishops. We have probably about 40 bishops total, if you include the auxiliaries and the retired bishops. And we represent them, the Catholic community, our 1,000 parishes, our 12 million Catholics in the state. That's who we represent, is that huge constituency and voice we have.
Is there any, I imagine it's not anxiety, but is there any concern within the conference about, sometimes, for example, in an area of California, and I think this is probably true in many places around the world, the primary community hospital will be a hospital that was founded by nuns 150 years ago. So it's a Catholic hospital, and there really isn't another hospital in that rural community where these nuns went out and founded a hospital. And so people will start pressuring the Catholic hospital, you need to provide these services because you're the hospital for this community. And some of the services will be sterilization services or abortion services or fertility things that we might have grave moral reasons to object to. Are you at all concerned that Catholic institutions will face pressure now in California that they haven't faced before?
It's not a new pressure. California has faced a lot of pressure for a long time on our Catholic hospitals to perform things that are morally objectionable. And the truth is that we are really good at the healthcare that we do provide. Right. So in our rural communities, we are often the only provider and we're the one that people go to. We have one hospital system that has completely eliminated maternal mortality. We provide 1/3 of the Medicaid births in the state. So the low income births that mothers need and are looking for. And we serve 1/7 of patients. So Catholic hospitals, it's really a great service that we do, and we're just really proud of who we are. And if people are looking for those other services that we object to, we just don't do that. That's not who we are, and we're really good at what we do provide, and that's what people come to us for, is that caring, compassionate Catholic response. That we don't serve anyone just because they're Catholic, we serve them because we are Catholic.
Yeah, but isn't that weird that that's the thing that people will turn around on? And they'll go, look, if you want to be a Catholic hospital just serving Catholics, fine, but if you're going to serve the whole community, you need to provide all these other things.
Which, we provide the exact things that you need, right? If you have a flu or you have pneumonia or you have cancer or you have, anything under the sun, you're having a baby, we will serve you. We've got you. That's the Catholic way.
Go ahead.
We don't provide nonviolent service. We We provide all of the nonviolent services that people need. We don't respond with, you know, abortion or other things that harm human beings. That's just not what we do. We only serve to be compassionate and caring and do the right thing, which is to ensure that people have good health care.
888-318-7884 is the number. I'm about to go to a break, but I do I want you to know there are lines open and you can talk with Molly Sheehan. We'll get to more callers when we come back on the other side of the break that's coming up. 888-318-7884. Just with the seconds that we have left before we go, have you received and are you aware of the Catholic Church or Catholic institutions receiving more threats than usual in recent days?
The Department of Homeland Security and FBI had been concerned about that, and there had been some threats online prior to the decision, but we haven't really seen an uptick, and I'm really grateful for that. I think that the hope is to continue seeing a peaceful response, and because people, this is a very emotionally charged issue. When we talk about abortion, it touches on those things that are most close to our hearts, right? Which is our sexuality, our fertility, our children, and just really difficult questions. And so it makes sense that the response is so tough, but you know, I'm hopeful for a peaceful response from all sides.
Yeah, and getting through this first weekend of it has not been as bad as maybe some people thought. Molly Sheehan is our guest. We'd love it if you'd call and ask her whatever you like. You don't have to be Catholic to call and ask your pro-life question or life question or pro-choice question, however you want to do it, 888-318-7884.
This is Archbishop Salvatore Cordiglione of San Francisco. Thank you for listening to Catholic Answers Live.
Did you know you can access Catholic Answers Live right from your phone or other mobile device? Download the Catholic Answers Live app today. The Catholic Answers Live app, available now on iOS and Android.
Have you enrolled in the Catholic Answers School of Apologetics? Let me ask you a more important question. Do you believe as a Catholic that you have an obligation to share the Catholic faith? In fact, the Church has answered this question, and the answer is that all confirmed Catholics are obliged to share the faith. It's actually in canon law. Catholic Answers is here to help you fulfill that obligation. Our School of Apologetics courses will equip you to help all the people you come in contact with understand what the Church teaches and why. A great place to start is with all the Catholics in your life. Learn the art of apologetics from the best of the best and start sharing the gospel today. Visit schoolofapologetics.com. That's schoolofapologetics.com.
Most of us Catholic parents agree our number one goal in life is to pass on the faith to our children. But here's the bad news. Today's world has a million ways to steal your kid's soul. Don't be afraid, says Father Sebastian Walsh. God loves your children even more than you do, and he desires their salvation more than anything. In his groundbreaking new book, Always a Catholic, Father Walsh shows you how to cooperate with God to bring about the fulfillment of his will for your kids. Always a Catholic reminds us that keeping our kids in the faith is about the way we live our Catholicism in our own lives and as a family from day to day. Order your copy of Always a Catholic by visiting shop.catholic.com today or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Tomorrow on Mortal Life, the life you were meant to live.
We'll look at how the theology of the body can help you live a more abundant life.
That's tomorrow on Mortal Life, 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 Central on EWTN Radio.
Now back to Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host. Delighted to be talking with an important person here in California and share her and her work with those of you around the world. California, not known as a particularly pro-life place, although one thing that many people don't know about California is a very, very diverse state, and whole counties, actually whole regions of the state, might be more pro-life than your state. It's just that they are demographically overwhelmed by the cities and other parts of the state as far as as who we elect as the representatives of the state. So the California Catholic Conference crosses all of those divides. As a matter of fact, in some cases, a single diocese will stretch from areas that you might say those are the most pro-choice in the world into areas where you might say that's about as pro-life as you could possibly get. So it must be a very interesting job that Molly Sheehan does in her work defending life for the California Catholic bishops at the California Catholic Conference. You're welcome to call with your questions about how we navigate a post Roe versus Wade world, 888-318-7884. Molly, I am going to get to calls, but I have to read a script. Carrie Beck writes these scripts, and I have to read them, and I have to read them word for word. So relax for a minute there, Molly. Apologist and pro-life advocate. That didn't go very well. I'm going to try again. Apologist and pro-life advocate Trent Horn was featured this weekend in a CNN article juxtaposing the way different people claiming the name Christian can hold opposite positions when it comes to abortion. Spoiler alert, they can't. That's part of the script. I am not making up any of this. We also recommend you check out Trent's article, Four Myths You're Hearing Right Now About Babies, posted today at Catholic.com. As Thomas likes to say, it's a banger. I don't even know who Thomas is or what it's a banger means. Why does Carrie put this stuff in there? All right. Want to learn how to answer pro-choice arguments like Trent in just a couple of hours? You can get Trent's online course, Arguing Against Abortion, for free when you become a patron of the Council of Trent podcast. Visit TrentHornPodcast.com now and get started. 888-318-7884. Molly, I don't imagine you have time to listen to the show every day, but that's about the best I've ever done on reading a script. That's you just got to hear my number one effort. But you're familiar with Trent Horn. You know the work of Trent Horn. I would imagine that if you're a pro-life Catholic, you know Trent. A bunch of calls for you. You ready to go back to the phones?
Yes, let's do it.
All right. Molly Sheehan is our guest from the California Catholic Conference, trying to make this state and this world more pro-life, more respectful of life in all of its stages. 888-318-7884 is our number. And we go now to Brad in South Dakota, listening on Spirit Catholic Radio. Brad, we're glad you're here. Go ahead with your question for Molly.
Yes, thank you for taking my question. And so, unfortunately, we have one daughter that can't have children and never has. She was born that way. And then, but her belief is yes, life and pro-life, but she's confused about and upset and posts things on Facebook about unfortunate women or children who get raped or molested and are pregnant and can't have an abortion because, and then that says, well, she thinks that that isn't fair to those folks. So how do I explain that or try?
Yeah, Brad, that's a really difficult question, and I appreciate you asking it. You know, I think there are so many women who have experienced the pain of sexual assault, and we always respond to those women with concern. And our first concern should be that she gets support and help so that she's able to recover. We should prosecute the assailant to the fullest extent of the law. And our response should also be that we do not give the death penalty to rapists, and we should not give the death penalty to an innocent unborn child either. Rather, we respond with compassion, and we try to make sure that she is taken care of, and we make sure that her unborn child is taken care of and that she's supported through that difficult decision. We actually know, and I've talked with many women who have chosen life after rape and raised their babies or placed their children for adoption. And they say, this is not the rapist child. This is my child. And I am grateful for my child because I choose this child and this is a blessing from God. So really we have to look at the responses of survivors and see what they're saying in response to this difficult question. And then the last thing I would say is that, you know, the vast majority of abortions are performed for elective reasons, so socioeconomic reasons, right? 98% of abortions are for those kinds of decisions. And so when we're looking at the vast majority of cases of abortion being things that we can fix, we need to respond to those things we can fix. If she's homeless, we make sure that she has housing. If she is in a situation of domestic violence, abortion doesn't solve that. And so we need to make sure that she is able to escape from her abuser and is supported as a mother, right? We always try and solve the problem, and we find nonviolent solutions to the problems that women face during pregnancy.
That acceptable to you, Brad?
That's just wonderful, and that'll be real helpful, and I'll do some more praying and some more reading of some of your wonderful 20 Catholic Answers books. And
okay.
And we'll see if we can try to approach it again. So thank you so kindly, and you folks have a wonderful, blessed evening.
You too. Thank you very, very much. That's why Molly has the job that she has at the California Catholic Conference. If you have questions about the opportunities, the obstacles we face now in this post-Roe world, you're welcome to call. We go down to Matt in St. Mary's, Ohio, listening on Catholic.com. Glad to have you, Matt. Go ahead with your question for Molly Sheehan.
Yeah, Molly, I appreciate your wisdom and knowledge today. And it's kind of a follow-up to the question you just had. And actually, it's a data question and a kind of a continued extension. So what is the data today? Is it still 98% of women who have abortions are elective in nature? Or, and if so, does that still leave about 2% that deal with incest, rape, and a threat to the mother's life? I guess the question kind of continues then, are there really some concrete steps that we as Catholics can do to support the people in the last three categories?
So those are the statistics that I've seen from the Guttmacher Institute, which is the main pro-choice study group that collects the data on abortions in the United States and is the most accurate data. So 96 to 98% of abortions are for socioeconomic and elective reasons, things that we can solve, right? Abortion never solves the problem of pregnancy. It ends the life of an unborn child, and it harms the mother in a terrible way and leaves her, you know, traumatized. And it doesn't solve, you know, whatever issue led her to seek an abortion in the first place. So we really need to respond with nonviolent solutions. And that's really what I encourage and what the bishops encourage. And when it comes to supporting women in those latter categories, right, we call them the hard cases. And these really are difficult situations that women do find themselves in. And so we always respond to those cases with compassion and care. When it comes to rape and incest, again, you know, we always try and find her the support, help her to find counseling, encourage, you know, to charge and prosecute that assailant to the fullest extent of the law. And, you know, really just respond with compassion and listen to her and see how we can support her. When it comes to the life of the mother, it is not medically necessary for us to have abortion in order to save the life of the mother. Ectopic pregnancy, I've seen a lot of statistics right now going around with the Roe versus Wade being overturned, that ectopic pregnancy will be criminalized or not, treatment of ectopic pregnancy isn't available, and that's simply not true. Treatment of ectopic pregnancy is not abortion, right? It's removing, delivering an unborn child early, and we know that the baby can't survive outside of the womb, but it's a treatment that we're doing to protect the life of the mother. And if we could save that baby, and we would. It's similar to when we have an early induction of labor. It's trying to save the life of the mother and the baby. And sometimes that's not successful, but that's not an abortion. Abortion is the direct and intentional killing of a human being. And that can never be acceptable in a just society.
Okay, Matt, how's that strike you?
I think those are very good answers, and I'll try to catch the replay so I can share it with others.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I appreciate the call and the question. More folks on the line. I'm going to get to the more calls. One person so far on Facebook, and this may become a movement, I don't know, has said that you should run for Congress. So you got one supporter now. You might want to open up that your political action committee so you can start taking donations, because I know you're getting one donation today.
I got one supporter, so you know that's enough, right?
Yeah, those start enough to get started. Well, depending on how much money that supporter has. Our guest is Molly Sheehan. She works for the Catholic Bishops of California, trying to make this state a more pro-life state. If you have questions about the work we have ahead of us in a post Roe v. Wade world, you're welcome to call 888-318-7884. Joe is in Nicaragua, listening on the app. Joe, thanks for downloading the app onto your phone. Go ahead with your question for Molly.
Okay, oh, hello, guys.
Hi, Joe.
I'm Gerald, actually.
Gerald?
Yes.
Oh, I apologize. I had that wrong on the screen. Go ahead, Gerald.
Okay, well, it's about abortion. My question is there any biblical text that talks about this this topic or prohibit something like that?
So two answers to your question, Gerald. The first is that, yes, we have the biblical text saying thou shalt not kill. Abortion is the intentional killing of an unborn child, and so that can never be acceptable in a just society. We also have biblical verses that talk about the humanity of the unborn child, right? So, you know, that St. John the Baptist leapt in his mother's womb. We know that the psalmist says that the Lord knit him together in his mother's womb. So we have the biblical support to say, you know, that we should protect unborn life. But we also know that regardless of one's view in the Bible or not, that we have a response of justice. Justice requires that we protect the vulnerable, and that includes the unborn child. And so we know from science that the unborn child is growing and is alive and has human parents, and thus can only grow up to be an adult human being. It'll never grow up to be a puppy or a banana or anything else. And human beings like you and I are valuable. So regardless of one's view in the agreement in the Bible or anything, we know that the unborn child is valuable and deserves to be protected. And their mothers deserve to be protected too. And so as a Catholic, you can respond with the knowledge that this is a foundation found in truth. It's in the Bible, but regardless of one's view in the Bible, it's simply something that is true.
Gerald, I'll come back to you there, 'cause it's called all the way from Nicaragua. Is that okay with you, Gerald? Does that make sense?
Yeah, I understand it. It's okay.
Okay.
Thank you for your answers.
Oh, thank you for calling, and thank you for listening in Nicaragua. I appreciate that, and it makes us feel really good about ourselves that you call all the way from Nicaragua. The number is 888-318-7884. I'm not exactly sure why I'm giving it out, because all the lines are, there's one line open, but we'll take a very quick break, and we'll come right back with more questions for Molly Sheehan of the California Catholic Conference on what we do now that Roe has been overturned.
It's all about the truth. Catholic Answers Live.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects home buyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
You make an honest examination of conscience. You identify what your faults are. You make a firm purpose of amendment. You determine not to do them again. That doesn't mean you'll necessarily be successful, but you make that resolution. I've been eating too much pecan pie. I'm going to stop. Without that, I mean, you're really not contrite.
Called to Communion with Dr. David Anders. Tonight, 11 Eastern, on EWTN Radio.
Do you want to end abortion, halt the attack on traditional marriage, and ensure religious freedom for ourselves and for our grandchildren? To do this, we must convert the culture. St. Paul Street Evangelization is a grassroots initiative that recognizes this need and takes it to the streets. If you're interested in peacefully sharing the gospel in your area, visit streetevangelization.com to learn more.
Welcome back. Catholic Answers Live. Ed in Columbus, Nebraska. All these people that call from Nebraska, I don't even know why I even say where they're listening. They're listening to Spirit Catholic Radio. That's how they're listening. If you're in Nebraska, you're listening on Spirit Catholic Radio. Ed in Columbus, go ahead with your question for Molly.
Thanks a lot for taking my call. This truly is a day to celebrate.
Praise God.
The reason praise God is right. We are concerned about the unborn child, and we should be concerned about the mother too. But it always takes two people to create a child, and so for conception to take place. And so I'm wondering how we can incorporate concern for the fathers. There's a lot of fathers out there that never wanted an aborted child.
Yeah.
This is a familial issue, and I'm concerned that we're addressing only one aspect of it. And there's oftentimes two people that need to be healed, and even though the father may not know it at the time, It's kind of like a latent woman who has an abortion. The results don't necessarily show up right away. So I'm wondering how we can address the father in these circumstances.
Molly?
Ed, that's a great question. You know, you're right. Fathers do experience the loss of their unborn child as well, and that pain is real. It's trauma, and it lasts a lifetime. And so these fathers as well deserve the healing and support of our Catholic community. They deserve to be able to go through, you know, Rachel's Vineyard or Project Rachel or whatever kind of post-abortion healing they need to be able to recover and live in the light of Christ and know that, you know, the forgiveness that is available through the church and the hope that is available to reunite with their unborn child in heaven. And when we look at the issue of abortion, like prior to the decision, a lot of the time we see that it is the family, so the woman's family or her boyfriend or her partner, who is pushing for the abortion and she feels unsupported. So what I always tell young men and young women, whoever is, you know, if someone comes to you and says, I'm pregnant, the first thing out of your mouth should always be, congratulations, like truly, sincerely, congratulations. I am so excited for you. Because maybe she's not ready to feel that joy and excitement. Maybe he's not ready to feel that joy and excitement, but you hold that space for them, that space of, I know this is going to be a beautiful gift for you. I know this is going to be wonderful, and we can do this. When you ask women who have had abortions, you know, what happened and what led up to that decision, a lot of the time they'll say, well, someone told me it was up to me. It was my decision, and I felt that they were not going to support me. I felt them taking a step back. And so instead, you want to take a step forward towards her and say, congratulations, I've got you. I'm here for you. You know, I'll be the godmother of your child. I'm going to throw you that baby shower. I will do whatever you need. And the father of the child is really the one who has the most power in that situation to say, we got this. I'm going to step up. I'm going to take care of this unborn child. And so, you know, we can do this. And having that emotional support is really the most important thing in these circumstances. So those are the two responses. Always say congratulations. And for fathers who have experienced abortion as well, there is healing and hope for them.
Thank you, Ed. I'm going to keep moving because now time is very, very short and lots of folks want to talk with Molly Sheehan. Let's go to Monica in El Paso, Texas, listening to EWTN on Channel 130, Sirius XM, Satellite Radio. Monica, go ahead with your question for Molly Sheehan.
Thank you. Molly, I just wanted to say thank you for being on the air, and I just wanted to say that I believe more you and maybe if you could turn other young, passionate women to teach other women and to address the issues that the really wonderful man that you just talked to, maybe some men go out there and we need to talk to our youth and young adults and explain to them how hard it is to have the support that women need to have children. I don't believe we get it. I have three beautiful children. I have a really wonderful husband, and I still have went through some issues. So I can only imagine what women in lower socioeconomic positions go through, as well as people that just don't have friends and family around them. You know, people work across country now. What if a young woman finds herself alone and pregnant thousands of miles away? So with that said, I just want to say thank you very much, and also thank you for the beautiful men that called in. We need more men like you to talk about the role of a man, a father, in the pregnancy and the support that we need to fulfill our role as mothers. It's not easy, but it's wonderful, and I really thank God not only for having my children, but also to hear people like you, because I was really getting tired of hearing stuffy old politicians, mostly male and stuff. Even our Catholic yes. radio station sometimes can get a little stuffy.
Yeah.
And men hearing talking about women, we need to be our voice, and that's what turns me my heart right now is just like beating hard, because I'm so excited to hear someone sound so positive and passionate. And I have friends in my parish at St. Francis of Assisi in Frisco that are very passionate, and I try to help when I can when it comes to women's issues, and not just here in the DFW area, but also in other areas.
Thanks, Monica. I have to agree about the stuffy old hosts on Catholic Radio. I'm tired of these men on Catholic Radio. But Molly, what lovely words, and I couldn't dispute a single one of them. What do you say to Monica?
Monica, I just want to say thank you for your witness of motherhood and for, you know, raising your kids and welcoming them and celebrating them. Just you being you is a gift to this world. And so I'm very grateful for you and for all of the moms out there who just welcome their kids and celebrate them. That is truly building up a pro-life world. And I'll also say, you know, in response to what you said, that we do need to continue to support women and men. And one of the things that we can do, one of the easiest things, send a text message to a mom you know and just give her an encouraging note today, or write her a letter and put it in the mail. I know we don't do that a lot anymore, but that's an easy way to support her. If she, you know, there's this particular need she has, you know, maybe make a meal train for her or, you know, just drop off some frozen dinner. Like, whatever we can do to support the moms in our lives, we should do it, because that sometimes you just need a little pat on the back to say, you've got this, you're doing a great job, and I got you.
Thanks, Monica. I'm going to go to Jason in Rochester, Minnesota now, listening on 970 AM. Jason, go ahead with your question for our guest, Molly Sheehan.
Thanks, everyone. So my question is, when the news broke, I was actually at a family get-together, and it was kind of the elephant in the room, because about half of my family is very pro-life, which I am, and then about the other half of my family, they say that they're pro-choice. What is the best way to try to change the hearts of people in our family that are pro-choice? What's the best approach to take there? Because we've tried in the past to even bring the topic up, and it usually ends not well. So
all right.
What's your advice in that?
That can be hard, Jason, but I think that we always start our conversations with love. You know, I think I've learned a lot from Trent Horn, so I'll take a page out of his book on this one, and that is that you know, you can ask questions and just say, you know, what do you think about the decision? And then you listen to understand. You try and see what their concerns really are. And then you try and find common ground. A lot of people are opposed to late term abortion, to, you know, using abortion as birth control, you know, and a lot of people can understand the response of saying, hey, the Catholic Church is the largest provider of private nonprofit social services in the world. So we're here to support women who want to choose to be mothers. And, you know, inviting them to support those kinds of resources is a great way to open up that conversation. I think anything that we can do to show that we are compassionate, that we are loving, and that we support a consistent response that says we believe in nonviolent solutions to the problems that women face during pregnancy, that really helps, you know, and then continue to leave those lines of communication open.
I'm going to keep moving, Jason, just because I do have time to get everybody on if I just keep going. So Pam in Dallas, Texas, listening on EWTN.com. You are next, Pam. Try to be quick with your question, and then that'll give Molly a chance to answer. Go ahead, Pam.
Way to respond to the companies like, you know, Dick's Sporting Goods, Amazon, HD, Apple, which are all companies I do business with, who said that they'll be financially supporting employees who want to get an abortion if they live in a city where it's no longer legal. Like, what is a good
response?
Way to respond to that? Mm-hmm.
Thank you for being quick. Go ahead, Molly.
Awesome. You can send an email to that company or give them a phone call and just ask what their maternal leave policy is. Ask them if they have a really good lactation policy. And then I would also be proactive and see the moms that you know in your area, make sure that they know about paid family leave options, about their lactation rights, you know, for breastfeeding, and that they know about the Title IX rights if they're a college student, that they know the resources that are available to them, the pregnancy centers in their area, that they have what they need, right? So you can contact the company and tell them what they're getting wrong, and then you can contact the moms in your area and the company and tell them, hey, here's how to make sure you're doing this right. Here's how we can support moms.
You did such a good job asking quickly. Now you got time for a follow-up. Do you have a follow-up for Molly?
Yes. What is the proper way to respond to fans who are posting ignorant or erroneous things on social media about the issue? I end up just reading their posts, but I don't comment, and I feel like a coward. I just pray for them, but like, should I comment? Should I like?
It's hard to know on social media, isn't it, Molly? What do you say?
You know, you can comment. It may not reach them, but if you share on your personal page and have conversations with people you know, that's really where you have the largest impact. You can write a letter to the editor. There's a lot of ways that you can reach out and share your voice.
Pam, you are so good at going quick when I ask you to go quick. If you want to hang on, we'll send you a copy of Jimmy Akin's book, The Words of Eternal Life. True happiness and where to find it. If you'd like, Pam, hang on. We'll send that to you. Molly, I You've just been a wonderful, wonderful guest. I hope we'll get to talk with you again. I'm so grateful for the work you're doing here in California, and your voice is a much-needed voice. You want to leave us with any last thoughts in this pro-Roe v. Wade world?
So, yeah, here we are. It's post-Roe versus Wade, where, you know, where the question of abortion goes back to the states. So if you're in a state that doesn't have abortion, we need to support women, children, and families. And if you're in a state that has abortion, we need to support women, children, and families. Regardless of the situation, that's what we need to do. That's what our bishops are calling us to do. And so I invite everyone to get involved. And shameless plug, our website to support them is wewerebornready.com. Wewerebornready.com. That's to help all California women, but anyone can use it. There's resources there.
Wewerebornready.com. Well, I don't know all the California bishops, but I feel like they really know what they're doing if they're hiring people like you, Molly. Thanks for a very fine hour.
Thank you so much.
Molly Sheehan has been our guest. She is the Associate Director for Respect Life at the California Catholic Conference. Tomorrow, 2 hours of open forum. We'll see you then, God willing, right here on Catholic Answers Live.